8th Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio. This is WMVP Chicago, ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. It's Cap and Coming. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
We really do need to... Hey, by the way, it's Carmen and Yurko. How you doing, everybody? We really need to have Black, I think, videotape, like, what happens in transition.
Well, and to be fair, it was surprising to us on this side of the glass that you're in there by yourself right now.
Yeah, so. Cap decided he was just leaving. Now, there is a company call going
on. So you're good. You're good.
But nobody knew Cap was just going to leave. So normally, I have a little bit more time to disinfect the space. But, I mean, it takes a lot. You know, we got a Lysol. We got a Clorox wipe. I mean, I'm doing both. I got a can of Lysol. Yurko's at home. How are you, good kid?
I think we're still waiting to connect to Yurko.
Oh, so are we? Okay.
I'll talk
amongst myself.
Well, I'll be here
Chris
for you.
Chris is here. I've got a can of Lysol. I mean, and, you know, we've talked about this throughout the week. Sylvie comes in about 10 to 2 every day to start the process, cleaning the station next to me for crosstalk. And we've got Lysol. Disinfectant spray kills 99.9% of bacteria, including, well, viruses and bacteria, of course, including COVID-19. So I spray the chairs, the desk, the wind sock. We have a different, more colorful name for it, but I won't use that. This is a family program. And then
my cover.
Okay, that's good. And then I take Clorox disinfectant wipes. So, I mean, we got, like, both sides of this, the Lysol and the Clorox. And then I got to wipe down, like, all the keyboards and the mouses, or the mice, I guess. Would we call them?
The mice.
We call them mice? Okay. I got to wipe down the mice. I got to wipe down the panel that we touched to punch up the phone calls, you know, because Cap was touching it. I mean, we are very vigilant about all this, which makes me believe we're doing the right thing, as a few of us still come down here to 190 North State each and every day. But we're not doing it like willy-nilly, you know? I mean, we are very vigilant. We are taking it seriously. We socially distance as best we can. And I'm telling you, we are spraying things down constantly. In fact, our boss, Mike Thomas, surprised us yesterday. He found a fresh can of Lysol. I mean, you would have thought it was a gold bar. He walked in like it was the Holy Grail. Like, look what I just found. I'm Indiana Jones. He was so proud. He was, like, showing it off. You thought it was the Stanley Cup coming through the door. He's like, guys, I found a new can of Lysol. I mean, and we rejoiced. We're like, save it, hide it. When this one runs out, we know at least for the next couple of weeks we're still good. We've got a backup.
You know, each day I kind of pass a couple of grocery stores on my way home, and my wife has been at home for 3 full weeks now.
God.
So each day when I go in, if I do go in, and I find something new, I feel like I'm returning like a hunter and gatherer from back in the day. And I'm like, look what I found from Trader Joe's. Look at this. And like, I am so proud at the little things that I found. Like, look what they have back in stock. They have blueberries.
That's so great.
Look at these blueberries.
I'm a hunter gatherer.
And that's
look,
how I feel.
I kill deer. We eat for a week. It's, I mean, really, like, we are full on living in such a crazy time. It's ridiculous. We're going to get through it. And we're here for you. So Crosstalk, even though we're not really doing Crosstalk, I'm still going to read our great sponsor because we love our partners that have stayed with us through all this. And we're thinking about all you guys. And you may not be able to cheer on the Wolves live at Allstate Arena right now, but you can take advantage of their year-end merchandise sale. This is a great deal. I want everybody to listen. Go to ChicagoWolvesStore.com and use the offer code year-end. And it's good for 30% off select items. 30%. So wear what the Chicago Wolves wear with a 30% discount through this Sunday. You've got through the weekend. Act fast. Use the offer code year-end. That's year-end. End at ChicagoWolves.com. We are the Wolves. We do have a loaded show for you today. We think what will be a great show for everybody. Our buddy Kyle Brandt, who was a wonderful addition to the Carmen and Yurko program at ESPN Chicago throughout the course of the 2019 football season. He will join us just to catch up, talk some Bears. we reached out to him, I don't know, about last week, I think one day, and we picked today. And it's good because we had the official press conferences today from Matt Nagy. Yurko's ready to go. Good. We had Matt Nagy and we had Ryan Pace. We got a ton of that sound to play, but Kyle Brandt will join us in about 25 minutes to talk Bears, what he thinks about what is going to be an open competition, it sounds like, according to Nagy and Pace. And again, I'm going to play a bunch of that sound for everybody. An hour from now, we're going to talk to Mark Pryor. He was promoted to Dodgers pitching coach in the offseason. He's been with the Dodgers for a couple of seasons now. He was in San Diego before that. Now he's the Dodgers pitching coach. We look forward to that conversation. There's so much to talk to Mark Pryor about. We're going to talk to Jim Miller at 1:30 from Hawthorne. There are tracks up and running around the country with no fans in the stand, but with that Club Hawthorne app, you can watch and wager. Jimmy Miller will give us a few ponies for the weekend, and then Mike North will have a little fun, and we'll talk some sports gambling at 1:45. Good kid, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing good, buddy.
Yeah, the old Comrex downstairs was on the kaputs for one reason or another.
York, say that again. Merkin was just talking in my ear. I'm sorry.
I said the old Comrex downstairs is on the kaput for one reason or another.
Oh, I got you.
So we've gone back to the old school. I'm upstairs. I'm on the phone with the headphones in the ears. I'm going to try not to jostle, and I'm trying not to move today.
All right.
So we got a nice, clean sound. Excited that my project is finally over.
Oh, man, I tell you, we got a celebrity on the line, too. So I want to...
Oh, I love it. Let's do that first.
I want to catch up on the bracket challenge, which is going to start the Cubs' greatest moments of the 16 run. That bracket challenge is going to start on Monday. But first...
You...
I'm kind of a big deal.
...are connected.
It's not about who you know.
You know people.
Who would you say is the most famous person in your phone?
You know people who are known. Can you get them to call us?
I enjoy American football. I actually dated a player once, but he wasn't my type, so I set him up with my friend Giselle.
ESPN 1000's biggest name drop. The bigger the name.
I'd say we're dropping names three at a time.
The bigger the prize. Which celebrity can you get to call us?
So we have a celebrity. He's a local guy from Libertyville. Played in the NFL a little bit, was in the XFL this year, but I think most people are going to recognize the name from The Bachelorette. Clay Harbor is on the phone. I got to be honest, Clay, full disclosure, I've never watched The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. I apologize.
No, honestly, I don't blame you guys. I don't blame you. You're not missing much. It's a lot of drama, and it's entertaining if you just want to turn your brain off and basically laugh at some other people. So, yeah, that was me.
How do you – I mean, first of all, you're an incredibly handsome man. I mean, I'm looking at your picture. I mean, I know –
Striking.
I mean,
striking.
He's very, very handsome. I mean, anybody's ever seen him, I mean, you look at him, you go, wow. He's built incredibly, you know, a tight end. I mean, let's face it.
He's what about his backside charm?
I'm not talking about his dairy. I'm talking about the position he played in the NFL, okay. Eric. He was
wow.
So he's got this great physique, and he's handsome. So, I mean, I know how you get on the show. You're handsome, but, like – How does that work? Do they find you? Do you, is like an open casting call or something? Do you seek them out or did somebody come to you?
Yeah, so it varies, right? Some guys jump through all the hoops and go through all the casting stuff. You have to go through several rounds. For me, it happened pretty quickly. A buddy of mine had a cup of coffee in the league as well, and he went through all the casting, got to the final casting, and he didn't sign him for the year before I went on. And he met one of the casting directors, randomly ran into her in the city in Chicago out one night, and she asked him if he wanted to try out again. And he said he has a girlfriend now. He's married now, actually. And he said, you know, I have a girlfriend, but I have a buddy that you might like. And gave her my info and says he still plays professional football, but, you know, call him. And they were very open to my schedule, and all I had to do was show up at the final casting and see if I wanted to do it. So I went. Next thing you know, I'm stepping out of a limo with a bunch of TV cameras on me in a house with a bunch of guys trying to talk to one girl. If this was a house party, you would walk in and walk out in that terrible ratio. But
big sausage
it was still
fest,
fun.
Yeah. So how far did you make it?
Funny story is, you know, I played 8 active years in the NFL, and I broke my wrist playing football on The Bachelorette.
Oh, my God.
In the fourth week. Yeah, it was. I was surprised because it was a live tackle football game, and I wasn't expecting that at all. And I'm playing quarterback because I don't want to run and hit these guys. You know, I'm playing against a male model. You know, medical device salesman, you know, and I'm like, all right, I don't like to play against these guys, but nobody could catch. So I'm throwing passes, hitting guys in the chest. My team's losing. So I decide the fourth quarter, I'm going to start playing. The last play of the game, tie game, I end up running a touchdown in. Literally can't draw this stuff up. I stiff arm a guy and break my wrist, have to go home and get surgery.
God.
So I could try to play next season.
Unbelievable. So Clay Harbor's on the phone with us. He was on The Bachelorette. He also, as he said, played, you had 8 active years in the NFL?
8 active years,
Eight touchdowns? I mean, that's pretty great. You were actually drafted by the Eagles in 2010. So was Matt, I'm assuming Matt Nagy was a young pup with Andy Reid when you were drafted by the Eagles. Is that right?
Nagy was my quality control guy for 3 years. He would throw me passes every day before practice in Philadelphia. Nagy was one of my favorite guys. Before games, I would go grab Nagy, and he would get me warmed up with catches. Go, hey, Nagy, let's go. All right. He'd come out to the field with me, throw me passes, get me ready to go for the game.
That's pretty great. Go ahead, Yurk. Go ahead.
Yeah, more importantly, he was on the field when we were there.
Yeah, you probably were.
We went to visit Andy Reid.
Summer of 2010, your rookie year.
Summer of 2010. Doug Peterson was on that staff. It was your rookie year. We stopped by just to visit before we went to go see the Blackhawks play the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, the Philadelphia Flyers that night during the Stanley Cup Finals. So we were on the same field at the same time. We just didn't know.
As you were practicing, that's incredible. Do you keep in touch with Matt at all?
I don't. You know, I don't keep in touch with Nagy. He was one of my favorite guys too. I wish I would have. I'm happy to see he brought Nick Foles in. Nick's a good friend of mine. Nick's first touchdown he ever threw, I caught in a game against the Buccaneers back in 2012.
Nice.
Nick's a great guy, one of the hardest working guys I've ever played with.
You should also tell Nick to give us a buzz too. Like on a scale of 1 to 10, the season you were on The Bachelorette, like how drop dead gorgeous was this girl, this woman?
Honestly, physically, she wasn't anything to write home about, but she had a. She had an amazing personality, and she was just a really cool girl, you know, and that made her more attractive to me. Like, if I'm out at a bar with my friends, you know, I might not have given her, you know, a second look or went and said hello.
I love
but
the honesty.
Getting to know her, she was honestly an amazing girl, and like one of those girls you could just hang out with, like it's one of your friends. You know, you bring her around your guys, and you don't skip a beat.
Now, did you end up finding love? Are you married or no?
I am not. I went on Bachelor in Paradise after The Bachelorette, and that kind of crashed and burned for me as well. So,
what right, we should do the dating game with him.
Yeah, we
have
him
on our air. You're gonna do the dating game.
We're gonna do our own version of The Bachelor with you, Clay, at some point. All right, we're gonna keep. Randy's gonna. Our producer's gonna keep your number. And we're gonna bug you at some point about this. All right.
Yeah, it sounds good to me, man. I'm open for suggestions. I know my mom would be appreciative of that. She's trying to get some grandkids. So
I bet. Where are you living these days? Are you back in the Chicago area?
I live in Lincoln Park, man. I'm looking at Lake Michigan right now. The lakefront path is closed. I'm right on the water. Yeah.
I tell you, when all this craziness is over later in the year, we got to get you down to the studio. We'll have some fun with this. All right.
Yeah, let's do it.
Thanks.
I'm in.
Thanks, Clay. We appreciate you. Who told you to call, by the way? You have a buddy that told you to call in?
My buddy from my hometown of Dwight, Illinois. I was born in Libertyville. I grew up in Dwight, which is about 75 miles south of the city. Very small town. Graduated with 60 kids. He's one of my good friends. His name is Kenny Taylor, and he told me to call in. I don't exactly know why or how, but I told him I would do it, and he said this was the last day. So, you know, I'm a man of my word.
Awesome.
So I gave you guys a call.
Clay, thanks, buddy. We appreciate it. Be well.
Of course. Thanks for having me on.
See you, man. That's Clay Harbor. He had 8 touchdowns in the NFL. Yurk, 3 years in Jayville. Had 5. Let's see. Yeah, it looks like he had 4 touchdowns in a Jayville uniform, 8 touchdowns, and was on The Bachelorette and Bachelor in Paradise. And used to warm up with Matt Nagy before games in 2010, his rookie year in Philadelphia. That's pretty good.
You got to like that. Dwight, by the way, Dwight is right off of I-55, probably about 20 minutes south of Braidwood.
Yes.
Braidwood is that facility, the nuclear facility down there.
Sounds about right. Yurk, when we come back, we're going to play a bunch of Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace sound. Kyle Brandt will join us in about 15 minutes. Got a lot to do. It's going to be a busy Friday. We're here for you. It's Carmen and Yurko.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Get Carmen and Yurko podcasts on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
I'd like you to meet a real inspiration.
Carmen and Yurko. ESPN 1000.
Yeah, now we're rocking. All right, happy Friday, everybody. My advice in our little pre-show video that you can always find on Twitter, at Carmen DeFalco, at Yurko64, or our Instagram page, at Carmen and Yurko. Our stories are up there. Take your driver, take some wiffle balls, go out in the backyard, and swing away. Have a little fun, right, Yurk? That's what I suggest. I know the courses in Indiana, a lot of them are still open, so socially distance and play by yourself. Mm-hmm. I said play by yourself.
That's right.
Or in a twosome or something, but keep your distance and maybe enjoy the nice weather. Try to do something that makes it feel a little bit normal. Right, Yurk? That is our suggestion.
Jake and I are heading out there. Me and my boy are going to head out and slash the ball a little bit here.
Okay.
It's probably about 68 degrees down here.
Yeah, right. It's 60 down here along the lake right now,
Yurk. I've been outside. It is absolutely marvelous.
Gorgeous,
We're heading over to Palmyra. We got ourselves a little bit of a tea time, and so we're going to go out there. We're going to hack it away, playing with Big Daddy, and Jeff Crawford's going to be out there, too. So
good.
We're going to have some fun.
We'll talk about the weekend a little. Kyle Brandt talking Bears and NFL at 12:30. Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy met the media via conference call today. We listened into that. We're going to play a bunch of the sound. A lot asked about Foles and the rest of the free agency signings. Here was Ryan Pace talking about the signing of the free agents and focusing on Foles and a quarterback competition.
In relation to free agency, we signed a number of guys. You know, understand the focus is on the quarterback position. It's been a focus for us with the addition of Nick Foles. It's exactly what we talked about from the start. We've increased competition at a critical position, and we talked to both players, and the way we view this is it's an open competition. And credit to both those guys for embracing it. We've also talked about this a lot, but it's the factor that I steadily lean on is the collaboration between our coaches and our scouts, the collaboration between Matt and I. And I think that's a strength for us right now more than ever.
And then this is Nagy, who went a little bit deeper. This were really Matt Nagy's opening comments on free agency and the quarterback competition. I want everybody to listen.
Number one, what we're trying to do is what's best for the Chicago Bears. Plain and simple. That's what it comes down to. And so, like I was saying, Ryan and I have had great talks with both of them. What's important and what y'all are going to find out in this process is going to be real simple. It's going to be very transparent and very honest. And so what I thought was really neat when we just talked to Mitch, speaks to who he is you could feel how much of a competitor, and you know it and you see it. He's a competitor now. He's embracing it and excited to get back to work. With that said, part of the conversation that we discussed too was understanding here the big picture. Is I know that Mitch gets a lot of this, but we could have been a lot better coaching schematically, and I could have been a better head coach. And then we can always be better players around him as well. So that's a focus there. But Mitch has. Mitch is really embracing it. He's had an unbelievable personality throughout it. He understands it. All he wants to do is be the best quarterback he can be for the Chicago Bears, and that's what he's going to do as we move on here. Nick, the same thing. I have a history with Nick. I know who he is as a person. He's been great as well. He's a special person, and Ryan and I looked into that, knowing that when this went down. And I think that's very important that we don't lose sight of that as we go through this competition. He's been in this position before, and he's handled it great. I personally went through it with him in Kansas City. A little different, but I know obviously who he is. It's going to be a process evaluated over time. And it, like Ryan said, it's a collaboration of Ryan, some of the guys on his staff, myself, and then along with Bill Lazor, Dave Ragone, John DeFilippo. And those guys all have extensive background with quarterbacks, and we're looking forward to that. We're not there yet. You guys will have questions, but we'll have a great plan on how to evaluate it. And then ultimately what it really comes down to is winning, scoring points, physical and mental toughness. And then obviously command and leadership with some other things.
I'd love to hear him say scoring points, Yerk. I want to play one more quick soundbite. This is only about 20 seconds, and then we're going to react to all this because I do think this is also important because Nagy was asked, how are you going to be able to evaluate? It's going to be such a different offseason. There will be no offseason program. Who knows how truncated training camp could be, the preseason. How is he going to evaluate this? And will these quarterbacks actually play in the preseason? This was Matt Nagy.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're going to play in preseason. It'll be equal reps, and it'll be a good competition for them. And, you know, again, that kind of goes in tune with what we're doing really with our whole team. It's going to be some of the things we discuss and talk about when we're able to do that with the team. But I think that part's important, and they'll be a big part of that.
And so, Yerk, that's a big deviation. Both will play in the preseason, and you have been calling for that for the last couple of preseasons.
I never understood it, quite frankly. And everybody keeps talking about, well, it's the injury scenario, John. It's the injury scenario. It's the injury scenario. Do you not drive your car because there's a chance you might be in an accident? No. You go about the business of driving your car, and you be cautious, you be careful. When you're a player, the best way to be careful when you're a player playing is by playing full speed, not by being cautious. You've got to get out there. You've got to play. You've got to get in the mix. You've got to get in the action. Injuries are unfortunately a part of the game. You really can't mitigate for it. You can't get in the middle and say, well, we're going to socially distance you. We're going to put you away. The preseason is as important for young players as the regular season is for young players until they get it. And once those players get it, then you can pull them out. Then you can rest them. Then you could say stop. But if they don't have it, and you're not going to give them that valuable experience, it just doesn't make sense. And that was the only point ever made. And everybody kept saying, well, the injury. Yeah, you caution yourself for something that may never take place. But, oh, look at us. We're ultra safe. It doesn't work that way. It was a flawed thinking from the get-go and from the jump.
All right, so who's going to win this competition? 312-332-3776. If you'd like to chime in today with Carmen and Yurko, it's 312-332-ESPN. Were you happy to hear that from Ryan Pace and from Matt Nagy this morning that there will be a competition? Do you think that Nick Foles is the front runner in that competition? Hit us up on Twitter. Yurko is at Yurko64. That's Yurko with a J. I'm at Carmen DeFalco. Do you think the coaching staff favors one guy over another? I mean, Nagy did say Mitch technically is going to be number one on the depth chart, I guess. He said he'll be the first one into the huddle when they do start, whenever that is. I don't know if that was surprising to you or not, but do you think the coaches have an inkling on who they'd like to win this competition, Yerk, or there's a guy they believe is already out in front a little bit?
Carm, I know you listened to me on yesterday's show, and I said even if Trubisky takes the first snaps in training camp,
yeah,
which means he would be number one still on the depth chart in theory, even if he does that, I think these coaches believe with what they know about both players that Nick Foles is going to end up coming out on top. Nick Foles is going to be the one that has most of the offense. So all they really have to do is, they know that Mitch only controls about 60% of the offense, is they introduce some of the stuff that he doesn't have, that he doesn't have a command of. All right, here we are. And then you've got to make some checks that you're just become familiar with or you may not be comfortable with. And at that point, that's when you know, can one guy handle the information? Can the other guy not handle the information? Once you assess that, you test both players and you see which one does know and which one doesn't know, then you should have a crystal clear idea of who's going to be your starting quarterback.
Here is Nagy talking about Nick Foles' command of this offense, having been in it for so many years.
Nick is at a point right now where he could get by and get through a game because he would understand the words and the concepts, but not fully to where, you know, he needs to be. So there's, and again, it's kind of like riding a bike. You're able to, you know, and you get back onto it. You hear some words, some plays that you heard in the past and you remember all of a sudden, and it's different languages, you know, that he's been in the last couple of years, just some tweaks here or there, nothing major. So, but right now he could go out and play, and I think he would do well just because we'd have to keep it simple and let him just do his thing by playing you know, and playing football like he normally does.
That was asked in the context of, you know, what if you really don't have any offseason? You know, I mean, who knows? No, they just don't know right now. That was why that was asked. Like, could Nick Foles actually go out and just already, you know, pick it up, know exactly everything he needs to know? I thought that was a pretty good answer from Nagy. There are obviously some things that would be natural to him because he does know the verbiage and everything else, but they still want to install more. Hopefully they get a chance to do all that, but very fluid. They were also non-committal on Mitch's fifth-year option, which isn't a surprise, and they have about another month, I think, or maybe even 5 weeks here before they have to decide. But Ryan Pace was asked directly about that, and he was mostly non-committal. Is that? I don't think that surprises anybody, right?
No. Listen, it's going to be out. Guys, what if Mitch this offseason has spent himself learning. He's finally frustrated. He throws caution to the wind, and he comes out there to play. Your best-case scenario is both quarterbacks come out. Both of them are challenging each other. Both of them are playing at an exceptional level. That's position number one. That's what you would like to see. You'd like to see both of them making each other better, both of them forcing each other to excel. That's position one. That way, if something does happen to Nick Foles and he does go down in game three, you're hoping that Trubisky's going to be able to step in, not be a sourpuss, and even if it's vice versa. If Trubisky ends up winning the job, he goes out there, he gets hurt, then Nick Foles is able to step in and take over at a high level. That is position A. You know, rooting for one guy to be better than the other guy, that's what we do as fans. But if both of these quarterbacks can find a way to excel, that'd be the best case scenario for both sides.
Yurko, we got a Woj bomb, and it relates to the Chicago Bulls. And Sylvie's going to be a happy camper. I hope he's listening. Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted 3 minutes ago, story filed to ESPN. The Chicago Bulls have started a formal search process to hire a new top executive with full authority on basketball decisions, sources tell ESPN. Woj bomb. Boom.
Don't tell Anthony Rizzo, because Anthony Rizzo will be mad that the Bulls are conducting business.
Only Yurko can say. Yeah. Got to make that
segue. Anthony Rizzo's upset that the Bulls are conducting their business because the baseball players can't play.
I think I might have just heard Bulls fans go, all right. Yeah. Maybe they are I'm serious.
I am sure there's an excitement throughout Bulls Nation. Right said Fred is probably happier than he has been in a long time.
I will look for the story. It says story filed. I'm going to see if it's on the front page or where, because he doesn't have an attachment. I'm surprised he doesn't link the story to it yet. But again, this was tweeted at 12:27. This is the verified Woj account. It's got the check mark. It's got 4 million followers. That's Woj. Woj bomb. The Bulls have started a formal search process to hire a new top executive with full authority on basketball decisions, sources tell ESPN. We'll follow that developing story. We'll talk more about the Foles-Trubisky competition. There's no live sports, but there's stuff happening, Yurko. We got to talk about. And our buddy Kyle Brandt from the NFL Network will join us coming up next.
Stop, boss.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Turning out to be a whirlwind afternoon, Yurk. This morning we heard from Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. We played some of that sound. Nick Foles meeting the media now. Apparently Nick Foles, I think, said something to the effect of, you know, he believes it's maybe easy for him to say now, too, but he believes that if the Bears didn't double doink it, if Cody Parkey didn't double doink it a couple years ago, they would have won the Super Bowl. He talked about his restructure and how, had he not agreed to restructure, he never would have been here in Chicago. He'd still be in Jacksonville, but he really wanted to be here with this coaching staff and this team. So we'll turn that sound around as quickly as we can. The big news in the NBA relates to the Bulls, and it's coming from Woj, of course. Woj bombs. We read you the first tweet right going into break there. The Bulls have started a formal search process to hire a new top executive with full authority on basketball decisions. Here are some follow-up tweets, Yurko, and we will get to our buddy Kyle Brandt in just a second. I know Kyle's holding, so hold on 1 second, my man. We appreciate it. Woj tweeted, ownership has discussed the plan with Executive VP of Basketball Operations John Paxson and GM Gar Foreman, according to sources. Paxson is likely to continue in an advisory role with the franchise. There are expected to be more conversations with Foreman about his future, too. Among the Bulls' initial plans will be to seek permission to interview Denver Nuggets GM Arturis Karnisovas and Toronto GM Bobby Webster, among other candidates. Bobby Webster obviously working right under Masai Ujiri. That might not be a bad thing. Karnisovas might have some ties to Ejiri, too, from his time with the Nuggets. I do not know. I'm not too familiar, to be honest, with Arturas Karnisovas. We've got to do a little research and investigating on that.
They're pulling from the tree, Carm. They're pulling
right
from the tree.
I think that's what he's looking for right now. Who knows if this means they'll actually consider talking to Sam Presti. If they could, you know, it would take a lot to pry him away from Oklahoma City,
yeah,
or Masai Ujiri, but we'll see. Maybe they're finally thinking big. Merck is going to try to get Woj to jump on if he's got a few minutes for us. We shall see, but we will continue to follow the developing story. So all of a sudden, this is turning into like a furious news day on this Friday. We bring in our buddy Kyle Brandt now to talk Bears and NFL with us. First and foremost, how are you? How's the family? How's everybody's health, Kyle?
You know, Carm, you think you've seen everything in quarantine. You've watched every video, every show, every meme, every everything. And then you go to Twitter today and you see Carmen DeFalco with a golf club on State Street, like some sort of lunatic.
Right.
I didn't know. Did you end that segment in handcuffs? What
no
am I talking to right now?
Nobody's out. We're socially – Yurko's at home. I'm here. Sylvie comes in afterwards. Waddle's at home doing his part. We're very socially distanced. Kyle, if you could see the cleaning process that takes place when we change from one show to another. I was just joking about it at noon. Not only do we spray Lysol everywhere, then I take Clorox wipes just to be safe and wipe everything down a second time. Like, there's no way germs are coming in here, my friend.
No. So somebody finally used some Windex on that glass between the studio and the street. That's a great development from it. And honestly, it is great to talk to both you guys. I'm in my house, as I've been for the past month, in the suburbs of New York. And I got to tell you, Carm, especially since you brought me in, I can hear the juice in your voice about this Bulls news. You're excited. This is big.
Yeah, it's big. I think they might finally be thinking that it's time for a fresh set of eyes. I have great admiration for John Paxson. I really do. I
sure
worked with him closely before he was a GM when I first got into this business and I was covering the Bulls. I really do have great admiration for him, but it's not working. And I don't think this would be you couldn't say that Jerry was overreacting or that, boy, that's a quick hook. They've been on the job nearly 20 years, and recently, you got to admit they're in a bad funk. It's just not working, and so a fresh set of eyes is probably a good thing over there, and I think Bulls fans are going to, most of them are going to rejoice in that. Just somebody new and different that is going to maybe think a little differently for the first time in a long
time.
Yeah,
listen, I have huge respect for Paxson, too. I remember watching Paxson when he had a mustache. Yeah. They were number five,
that's
hitting
right
jumpers. But I also grew up Jerry Krause, and I knew that he was the guy who is the mastermind through a lot of that stuff. And so I love John Paxson as a man and as a player, but let's be honest here. This is really exciting time for the Bulls, and everybody's been waiting for this day.
Especially if they get a big name. Before quarantine, I understand,
yeah,
like one of the last things you did before you locked yourself in your house, were you at Hallis Hall with Pace and Nagy?
This was really weird. So let's go back a few weeks, March 12th. March 12th, I was in Chicago specifically to do a gig with the Bears. It was their off-season business summit, and I got the honor of emceeing it. So I get in the day before, and this is the week, guys, when everything changed. This is the day that they canceled the NCAA tournament, which to me was a staggering moment of, like, this is, okay, the world's changing now. So there I am. I'm staying, you know, at the beautiful Deer Path Inn in Lake Forest, Illinois.
Great.
And the next day, I'm supposed to go in and do this thing, and I'm going to sit down with Pace and Nagy and Mr. McCaskey, and we're going to talk free agency and all the future and everything. And I was so geared up and ready, and they pulled the plug. They canceled the event, as they should have. But the next day, I still go to the facility. And so this was the time before social distancing. This is when people were starting to do the forearm bump, you know, in lieu of handshakes like Canseco
right
and Maguire. My first forearm bump that I had ever done before, I did one with a coworker and my wife, was with Matt Nagy. I ran into the hallway, and do you shake hands? No. Forearm bump. I forearm bump with Pace, with McCaskey. They were all doing it. This day, guys, this is the day that the Danny Trevathan news came out, and all these things are going on with the Bears, but the world is changing around us, and I'm sitting there with them as they're gracious to host me, being like, am I supposed to leave the facility? Can I go to O'Hare? And they were all cool, just all business. They're like, we're set up to do this thing at home, and then since then, they've been cracking skulls.
Wow. So do you think there is a real competition here? It sure sounded like it today. I think Yurko and I both think that the coaching staff believes Nick Foles will win it, and they really want Nick Foles to win it. What do you think is going to happen?
I mean, you know, you talk about the exhilaration of hearing the Bulls news. There was this, kind of this thrill in hearing the term open competition. It really was, because I didn't know if it was necessarily going to be that. And the fact that they took Nick Foles, guys, they thought long and hard about this. And let's call the facts here. Mitch is a stepchild for Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy married into that relationship. It is, he loves him and he supports him, but Mitch is John Fox's kid and Ryan Pace's kid. And yeah, as a quarterback guy through and through, I think Matt Nagy wants his guy. And maybe that turns out to be Mitch, but it's not any coincidence at all that you bring in Nick Foles, who he has experience with. And let's also be honest, I think Nick Foles has a mystique. He really does. And when he starts talking today and saying things like, you know, this is not about the egos of the two quarterbacks, this is about the Chicago Bears, it's a good quote. This is a guy who had, when he was with the Eagles, had Chris Long, of all people, making a shrine in his locker room for him, because that's how much they believed in him. It's one of the most complicated football legacies we've ever seen. He's gone from throwing 7 touchdowns in a game for the Eagles to getting cut on HBO by Jeff Fisher, to coming back to the Eagles and playing some of the best football we've ever seen, to losing his job to Gardner Minshew. And now he's here. So it's, if you buy into the off-on, Nick Foles philosophy, which I know is getting popular now, it's a good move.
Well, you hit it on the head. He's one of the most bizarre quarterback legends we're ever going to see. You know, and Yurko and Sal Palantonio, who comes on with us a lot, and Yurk and Sal go back many years, like, they believe, and they're probably right, like, there's going to be a statue for Nick Foles someday in Philadelphia. Oh, yeah. A statue for Nick Foles.
There already is. The statue they put up for the Eagles is Doug Peterson and Nick Foles talking on the sideline about the Philly special, you know, as we know, which was run from one bear to another with Trey Burton. But he has a statue.
It's amazing.
It's crazy. Quarterback now.
I don't know that he can do it for a full season. Yeah, he did. He had that one outlier year, and even that, I think, was 10 or 11 games with Chip Kelly way back when. And then he did these amazing things in these small spurts. That's why it is such a bizarre story and such an interesting and unique one. My only concern is the Bears might need him to do it over 17 weeks. Can he do it?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, it's he started a season for the Eagles a couple of years ago when Wentz was hurt. And he was fine. Pedestrian. It was nothing. But, you know, the last pass he threw for the Eagles was through the hands of Alshon Jeffrey in the Superdome in a game that Nick Foles would have won for them against the Saints, and that was the last pass he ever threw, and it was intercepted because Jeffrey dropped it. But it's a huge amount of enigma with him, because we've seen him be really average, but then I'm not exaggerating, we've seen him play some of the best playoff football of the last 25 years. I mean, what he did to the Patriots in that Super Bowl was incredible. Yeah. So they got a guy who's been there. And Mitch, as much as you love him and the work ethic, he has not been there. He's not been to those heights. So I think there's an intangible advantage. And when they say it's an open competition, I do not think that's a cute soundbite for the newspapers. I think that's actually really true.
Kyle, when you're on the inside, you're on the inside. And you, my friend, are on the inside. What's this preseason going to look like? You know, they've got to have talks. They've got to be throwing some things out there just to see if it'll stick to the wall. What do you think this preseason is going to look like?
Well, Yurko, for one, they're going to play. I mean, now you said that today. That's one of the biggest takeaways I had, was they're both going to see preseason action. All we talked about for 6 weeks at the end of last summer was no playing. Trubisky's not in, nobody's in. And then, you know, a lot of people had takeaways that fell into the regular season. So the fact that now they're going to be in, and he's saying, listen, he's not just saying open competition, leaving it alone. He's elaborating. He's saying equal time with the first teamers. He's saying Mitch is going to be out there first. He'll take the huddle with the ones, but he made sure to let everybody know Nick Foles is going to be throwing to Allen Robinson. Nick Foles is going to be with the first offensive line. Like, this is not, you know, there's different levels of competition where one guy gets most of the work and then you get a few scrap plays and see if you can make a spark. Nagy made it sound like it's down the middle, which I think, to answer your question, Yurko, goes into the preseason. This is not going to be them sitting around and it's a bunch of Tyler Bray. God bless Tyler Bray, but I think we're going to see the real guys.
We'll see how long that preseason actually is. Kyle, it's great to talk to you, and we'll catch up. Maybe once we know kind of what everything's going to actually look like this summer and fall, we'll catch up again. Stay safe, all right?
I will stay safe, Carm, and I will close by saying that you guys stay safe. And anybody in the Chicagoland area, any Bears fan, if you ever have any opportunity through a friend or a sweepstakes or anything, you got to somehow see the new Halas Hall. I saw this thing. It is a cathedral. Mm. It is a 16-0 facility. You would not believe the things they have put in there, how glistening and beautiful this place is. The Bears are doing every single thing with their facility to win the North again. It is unbelievably nice, and they're ready, man.
I like the sound of that. Let's hope it translates onto the field. The Kings
of the
North.
Man.
We'll see. All right, we'll talk to you soon, buddy. Thanks.
Thanks, you guys. Stay safe.
There's Kyle Brandt at Kyle Brandt. Good Morning Football, the NFL Network. We love having him on. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We got some trending, and this Bulls news is big. Woj saying that the Bulls are starting a search and that they will be hiring a new executive with full autonomy over basketball operations. We'll be right back.
Did you miss some Carmen and Yurko? You don't have to miss anything. Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Yeah, the hard stuff. Pump it up, JR. Turning into a very busy news day. Bears news. Sound from Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace, Nick Foles. We'll play some of that after one. Mark Pryor has agreed to reschedule and join us next week. I think we're going to talk to him early in the week next week. We do want to catch up with him, but there's a lot of newsy stuff happening, this Woj stuff about the Bulls and how they're going to be searching for a new top executive with full autonomy on basketball decisions. I was just talking to Sylvie and the guys, Chris Black, Adam Abdallah, Jeff Meller, getting ready for the Waddle and Sylvie show in the office. We were socially distanced, but Sylvie brought up a good point. This certainly means now you would think a new head coach as well. If you're going to bring in a new executive, that executive is going to want his guy. That's normally the way it works. So this is big news for the Bulls. Look, they've had two general managers since what? Not when did Krause take over? 85? You're talking about 35 years. The Bulls have had two general managers. Yurk, they've had Jerry Krause and they've had John Paxson. And like we always praise the Steelers, but the Steelers have had a lot more success, especially recently. I mean, of course, the dynasty was the dynasty, but it's been slim picking since. And Paxson and Garve had a good run and a lot of good opportunities, but it seems like it's time for a reset.
Yeah, the Pittsburgh Steelers ran in cycles. They obviously had the 4 out of 5 Super Bowls in the late 70s, the mid to late 70s. And then the 80s were the Lewis Lips, Weegee Thompson, Mark Malone type efforts when that group of the 70s left. Then in the 90s, they started to bounce back a little bit when they had Cordell Stewart.
With Cowher.
Yeah. Bill Cowher came in there. Yeah, so they looked a little bit. I think they got him in 92, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Sounds about right.
Holmgren came into the league. Wani came into the league. And your guy, Bill Cowher, came into the league at about the same time. Then they went with Cowher. They won a Super Bowl with Jerome Bettis in his final year. It was Ben Roethlisberger's rookie season. Then Tomlin comes in, and they've won one with Tomlin, right, in Arizona?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Yes. They've been to two, and they won one, I think, under Mike Tomlin.
It was against Arizona. I don't think it was
against Arizona, right.
Yeah. And you know, that's fantastic. So, yeah, they've been able, but they've had lulls.
They have.
They've had 10-year lulls. The 80s were not kind to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And I do think consistency is important, but there has been consistency here. And restarting now does not signal any sort of panic. It seems more of a necessity to me. We're going to continue to debate this and talk about it. Bulls fans, if you want to chime in, if you feel invigorated by this, if you feel excited by it, are you happy that the Bulls might be going in a different direction? I'm sure John Paxson will stay on in some sort of advisory role, kind of like Kenny Williams' role with the White Sox. But as I understand it, I can't tell you I'm 100% right, Yurk, but as I understand it, Rick Hahn has the autonomy to do what he wants. Rick Hahn makes the trades. Rick Hahn presents everything to Jerry. Does it come across Kenny's desk? Do they discuss things? They like to say that they do and that there's a collaboration, and I'm sure he is involved, but Rick Hahn has the autonomy. Are they going to put a similar plan in place now with the Bulls where Pax will be in some sort of role still, an advisory role, maybe some things cross his desk, but he won't tell the new person in charge, you can't do that, that this person will have full autonomy. Remember, the ESPN Chicago family and the Illinois broadcasters are uniting against hunger. 8 food banks in Illinois are responding to the critical need for food caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. So if you'd like to donate, it'll be processed by the Greater Chicago Food Depository and the Northern Illinois Food Bank. And Conagra Brands Foundation is now matching every dollar donated up to $100,000. So that's wonderful. Just go to feedingillinois.org/unite or text FEEDIL to 91999, and your generous gift will make sure that families in our communities have enough to eat. Merck, let's do a quick trending before the top of the hour. What's happening?
Gentlemen,
what is up?
Trending brought to you by Trend Micro, the leader in cybersecurity, protecting over 500,000 companies worldwide. Visit trendmicro.com/ESPN for more information. So, obviously, we want to get to back to the Bulls and the Bears, but just a couple quick notes as I get back to my screen here.
What happened, Merck?
Let's see here. Evan Gattis.
Yes.
Said Astros cheated baseball and the fans. Not surprising, right?
He dropped a bunch of F-bombs. It was kind of classic Evan Gattis. Yeah. Where he was saying they effed up. That's basically what he said.
Yep. Sammy Watkins has agreed to restructure his deal with the Chiefs.
I saw that.
Congratulations, man.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And
another speedy guy from Mahomes.
Outside that, there's the big NBA 2K game tonight on ESPN.
So Kevin Durant's a top seed.
Yeah, and you
right?
can actually bet on this. It's pretty crazy.
Can you really?
Yeah. Bovada has odds right now.
Tell Yurko what that is. I don't know if he knows.
It's a video game. Right.
Right.
Yeah. So there are a bunch of NBA players. Zach LaVine, I think, is a 7 seed. I want to say.
I like it.
So we're going to watch NBA guys play video
games. Well, Yurk, I mean, this is it. I mean,
wow.
Things aren't normal right now.
Oh, I get it. Well, if somebody says that's the new normal, though.
No, I don't. I hope not.
Rack
I'll tap
me.
Out.
I'm out.
I'm going to still catch up on Ozark. And I got to start this whole Tiger. What's it called?
Tiger King.
Tiger King. I got to watch it.
Carmen, the way he pressed that X button. Absolutely.
Yeah,
fantastic.
I can't get into it.
Carmen,
repetitive thumb technique.
Yurko, have you watched Tiger King yet?
No, I don't watch that stuff. Man.
Really? I think that's up your alley.
Looks like junk to me.
I'll watch it at some point. Everybody's talking about it.
Yeah. But it's entertaining.
But it's addicting junk, right?
Listen, if I'm going to watch junk, I'm going to watch my type of junk that I like.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
I like adult entertainment. That's the kind of junk I like to watch.
Okay.
All right.
That's it, Carm.
That's very good. Thank you. When we come back, we will play some sound from Nick Foles talking about his arrival in Chicago. We can take your phone calls on the Woj news that the Bulls will be looking for a new top executive, and we will continue to debate that and break it down. 312-332-3776. Does Jerry Reinsdorf finally realize that change has to happen on the West Side? The Bulls could be shifting into a new era and a different direction. 312-332-ESPN is the number. We're back in just 2 minutes.